Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armelie.
My topic is staying focused on the kingdom. And when Pastor Jay asked me to preach, he was still in the middle of the series. Out of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And he said, you can preach on whatever you want. He taught on the unforced rhythms of grace and then Sabbath. And as I was pondering where God would take me next, he spoke so clearly to me and began to develop this message, staying kingdom focused. So I've got a lot of scripture. That's just how I function. So if you take notes, write the scriptures down. You can check them out later on. In fact, I want to encourage you to take notes because we really have a church mentality and it needs to shift to a kingdom mentality. The whole body of Christ does because that's what we've been taught, but we've missed some things here. And I think we're living in an era where God is really revealing his kingdom to us. So Luke 16:16, the laws of Moses and the revelation of the prophets have prepared you for the arrival of the kingdom realm announced by John. These are Jesus' words. And now when this wonderful news of the kingdom realm of God is preached, people's hearts burn with extreme passion to press in and receive it. Heaven and earth will disintegrate before even the smallest detail of the word of God will fail or lose its power. All over the world in this hour, there are struggles more than we can even imagine. Disappointment, division, misunderstanding, hopelessness, just to name a few. But we're not without hope, are we? And we sang about it this morning. We're not without hope. There is a kingdom which has a king who needs to be shared with all we meet. In this kingdom, there's no fear of discouragement. In this kingdom, there's no fear of lack. This kingdom is filled with promise, hope, a future, provision, healing, miracles, deliverance, unity, resurrection life, blessings, family. I mean, we can go on and on. This kingdom is an amazing kingdom. Today, I want to look at the kingdom we've been given entrance into. And this kingdom is power. It's powerful. It's power. We've been studying the scriptures in Matthew 11, 28 about learning the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus clearly tells us that it is by watching how he does it that we will learn to live freely and lightly. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And we found out as he talked about Sabbath that that is not legalistically, but it is a place of incredible rest and refreshing. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Wow. That's what we want to do. In order to understand the kingdom of God, we need to go back to the beginning. So this is going to be a little bit of a teaching, and I hope you can track with me because I want to show you that in not preaching the kingdom, the gospel doesn't advance. We've preached the gospel of salvation, but we've got to go beyond that and preach the gospel of the kingdom because that's what Jesus brought. Why were we created in the first place? That's where we have to start. God is the self-existing one, the self-sufficient one. He needed nothing. And he needed no one, really. He was all-existent. But more than anything, God is love. Right? Right? Come on. God is love. We know that. Love has to give itself away and it has to share. Love can't keep things to itself. When you're in love with someone, you just want to give, right? It's a natural outflowing of the love you feel for that person. Well, God is love. Love has to give and share itself. It is in the nature of this love that God chose to create mankind. For what purpose? For the purpose of relationship, rulership, and leadership. So relationship first, rulership and leadership. This incredible kingdom existed and belonged to man before the earth was even created. This existed before he created you and I. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." The kingdom's always been there. And it was meant to be given to us, Matthew 25:34. God created man as his representatives, and they would establish his invisible kingdom here on earth in the visible realm, the natural world. So he established his invisible kingdom to be shared here on earth so that it is his kingdom is established in the visible realm, our realm. All of this would function out of a personal relationship with him. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the evening. That's where they communed. Genesis 1:26-27, which is a scripture here in this house that we quote a lot. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you and I are made in the image of God. How easy that is to forget right now. Because we're getting caught up in so many other things instead of the focus on where it needs to be. This is a season where God's calling us to just walk out and be who we're called to be like never before. We were given dominion and rulership by God over the earth. God never intended man to dominate one another. And that's what man's done with it. But that was never God's intention. But to rule the creation and resources of the earth. Now the world system's trying to do that. But it was intended for us. So man was created with a dominion mandate over the earth, giving him responsibility for representing the kingdom government of God on the earth. So we're supposed to be governing here. How do we do that? Dorman did a little bit of it this morning. We had a really good example in here this morning as he saw in the Spirit what the Father was doing and he began to call it out. Then it was for us to respond to the call by faith and receive what was available to us in that moment. It is interesting for us to note that the Holy Spirit was there all along. It says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters in creation. Without the Holy Spirit, church, we can't communicate. And as I was looking at all this, I thought, you were there all along. We look at it as the book of Acts, when he came at Pentecost. But Adam, the first Adam, could only communicate with the Father in the same way that Jesus did, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there and did all of that then. And from time to time in the Old Testament, he would come upon people and then he would lift again. That's why David cried out, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Because David knew exactly when he came on him and when he lifted. And the other prophets function often in the same way. So here we have this incredible Holy Spirit that's been given to you and I to function in, right? Only when Adam and Eve were deceived did all this change. Now they could no longer know the will of and mind of the Father and know how to release the government of heaven on earth. Earth became a territory under the devil. We see the effects of this still around us. We may be saved, but all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God so that it'll be released. Come on. And unless we understand why we're here, right? You know, accepting Jesus as our Savior is wonderful, and it is the greatest gift we'll ever receive. But that's not the whole picture, church. That's the entrance point. And too often, this is where we stop, and then we wait in the by and by to go to heaven. Meanwhile, all around us are the captives who are wanting to be set free. We've got to get that and understand that. It's through us they're set free, right? We see hatred, depression, addiction, anger, I mean sickness, people dying prematurely all around us. All around us. And God says, and I've given you authority. What are you going to do with it? But we have to understand what's been given to us. Jesus would come as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. I think we all understand that part. To understand the past and the future of man, we have to recognize what God's purpose was in creating us. If we don't understand that, we miss it all. He wanted a family of sons, not servants. He established a kingdom, not a religion. That's why the scripture that Matthew 11:28 reveals that truth. Learn of me the unforced rhythms of grace. He established a kingdom of kings. We are kingdom of priests, according to Revelations 1, 5, and 6. To establish a relationship with man, God loved, he wanted to commune with us. He's made it open, he's waiting for us. Shut the door and spend time with him. Put out the distractions and talk to him. Extend his heavenly government to earth and influence earth from heaven through mankind. So he does it through us. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So it's all about him still. Always. I love the way we worshiped him this morning. Holy, holy, holy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. It's all about him. All the time. All the time. By God's design, we've been given dominion on the earth. And it's not like now we're going to control. Pastor Dave taught on that. It's not what it's about. Jesus said he came as a meek and humble servant. He served. He loved. And he healed. The only way that God intervenes in the affairs of men is through prayer. The only way he intervenes is through prayer. Boy, we've got to get this, church. And I may step on some toes. I pray not. But God needs a body to get his will done on earth. We, his body on earth, carry his Holy Spirit within us. When we talk about learning the unforced rhythms of grace, we see that prayer life in Jesus was crucial. And this isn't my message, but it's part of my message. John 5:19-21. Then Jesus answers and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So Jesus communed constantly with his Father. Jesus spent time in prayer to hear and to see the plans of the Father here on earth. Prayer is crucial. It's by the power of prayer that we get God's power into our situation and in the regions we live in. It's through prayer that this happens. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, once wrote, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." Without God, we cannot. And without God, with us, God will not. So he works through his creation. So when no one's praying, and then we say, well, why did God do this? Were we asking him to come into that situation? Really? Prayer is powerful. We've had times of prayer in this place where we prayed the day before and the next day we saw it on the news. I'm serious. Quite a few times. Things at customs that Holy Spirit showed us how to pray. Sure enough, they caught the guy at customs. Like, amazing. And it's exciting to know that you are co-laboring that way. But right now, prayer is under attack, I would probably say in North America. Since COVID, it has been hit hard. And it was interesting because I listened to Pastor Jeff's pastor session. It's one of the things he mentioned. He says, prayer has been targeted hard. I thought, so it's not just Canada, it's U.S. too. So we got to fight back, right? I mean, the disciples saw Jesus come down off that mountain and all the miracles happened. They said to him in Matthew 6, 9 and 10, teach us how to pray. We obviously don't know how to do this, so teach us how to pray. And so he began to tell them, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So kingdom was a key. Well, it was his message. Jesus spoke so much about the kingdom, yet we hear very little of it in the church. Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit, empowered by incredible words from his Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He'd come through the temptation in the wilderness. And then in Matthew 4, 17, it states, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand is also translated, it is near or it has arrived. The kingdom has arrived. So Jesus brought it with him. I want to read you just a few scriptures. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 10, 7. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew 12, 28. Matthew 18, 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So he just keeps retelling them about his kingdom that he has brought, that it's there. He says it's at hand, it's here. The message of the kingdom of God is the most important news ever delivered to mankind. Jesus came to earth to announce the arrival of this kingdom and to establish it in the hearts, in people's hearts through his death and resurrection. So he did that by dying for us. Jesus, as the Son of Man, was the exact likeness of the Father, and he represented him perfectly on the earth. We have received back our citizenship. Our citizenship rights in the kingdom. And we have received the Holy Spirit to empower us exactly the same way Jesus was empowered. Through us, heaven is released on earth. But if we don't do it, then earth languishes. We're seeing it. Darkness is increasing. And we can quote all we want. We're going to shine as bright shining stars against this dark background. That's all fine and dandy. Sorry. But I think Jesus is saying, come on, church. I've given you everything. Start walking it out. The kingdom of heaven is in you. Start walking it out. The power's in you. Start walking it out. Start shining. It's more than just going to church. This is a lifestyle we've been called to. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." In Luke 22:29, Jesus makes this statement, "I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed it upon me." So Jesus has bestowed upon us a kingdom. His kingdom. I know I can tell it's not registering. He has bestowed upon us his kingdom. Everything Jesus did, he did it by walking it out before us as fully man, Son of God, yes, but needing the Holy Spirit. If he had done it as God, it wouldn't have worked. We could never have followed. But he did it as a man filled with the Spirit in communion with the Father. So that you and I, the sent ones, would do the same thing. It contains everything we need. When we begin to walk in biblical principles, you know, Karen kind of alluded to it. They always tithe all the way through. That begins to bear fruit. God begins to bring finances along in time, but he begins to bring teaching along. Like, his ways are far beyond ours. If we have eyes to see what he's doing, he begins to teach us and bring everything we need to us. He's looking for faithfulness. Will you do it as I do it? During his earthly ministry, Jesus ministered to countless thousands of people. People were attracted to him because he demonstrated power over sickness, over nature, over death, and over sin. They were all looking for the kingdom of God. Jesus revealed his Father's kingdom to them. 1 John 3:8-9, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." When he was ascended into heaven, just before he went, he says, "Now I'm sending you. Go and do the same thing. Destroy the works of the devil." Now, when I was a young Christian, I thought that meant screaming at the devil all the time and seeing demons under every bush. Seriously, because that's what you think. No. Feed the hungry, heal the sick, deliver the captives, raise the dead, do signs and wonders and miracles, one person at a time. In Matthew 8, he heals a leper and then the centurion's son, Peter's mother-in-law. And in the evening, because the word goes out, there's someone here with power. He's healing. They brought the sick, the demon-possessed, and God healed them all. God's glory was released in the region every time someone was healed or set free. Now, for me, one of the prime examples is a story. I'm not going to go into this, but I think we know the story of the Gadarene. The guy that was filled with demons, right? Here's a prime example of how God, Jesus was teaching. This man is controlling the region. Even more than that, the demons sitting on this man are controlling the whole region. There's fear here. They were afraid to go near that place because he was crazy. And we know how intense the battle would be because their ship almost got capsized on the way over there. So the devil was very angry because he knew what Jesus was going to go do. He was going to set somebody free that he had full control over. And that man and the spirit on that man controlled the whole region. And so they almost capsized. And Jesus takes control over nature out of his spirit man that's filled with peace. And he releases peace. And nature settles down. Then he goes over and he casts the unclean spirit out, which is legions. The man comes into his right mind and he wants to follow Jesus. He's sitting beside Jesus, all dressed and in his right mind. And it says the people come and they're afraid. It's like, you know, all these pigs, all our income just went into the sea. Get out of here. We don't want you, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, don't follow me. Go and tell what I've done. And by the time Jesus comes back, the whole area has heard the gospel through this one man who had been set free. And the region was set free. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. We're called to do that. Same way. Demonstrations of God's power release the glory of God into that location. Signs and wonders do that. They release the glory of God into our cities. The miracles displace darkness, and it replaces it with light or glory. When miracles are absent, so is the glory of God, which is manifested through the presence of Jesus. So when there's no miracles, nothing happening, nothing happens. Darkness just keeps advancing. I want to give you one more teaching here, our teaching, one more example that's powerful. At least I think it is. Luke 19:17. It's the story of the good servants. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing because I don't have time, but I really encourage you to read it. In verse 17, Jesus says, "Well done, my good servant," his master replied, "because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." Jesus recognized that his disciples did not understand how the kingdom would come. Truthfully, neither do many. Right now, there's so much more focus on the devil than there is on the Lord. And that's got to shift. Religion has clouded the whole aspect of how his kingdom would come. After witnessing thousands of miracles and signs and wonders and confirming his message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the disciples still expected that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem. And the people thought that the kingdom was going to appear at once. Jesus had just been in Zacchaeus' house. Luke 19:1-10 is the account of this short little man, chief tax collector, very wealthy. And he climbed up a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. There was a hunger in him. As Jesus is walking along, he looks up and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I need to come to your house today." So Zacchaeus gets everything ready and Jesus goes to his house. It says in verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest to be the guest of a sinner." But look what it happens. The glory came into Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come into this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. He was learned. Jesus says, watch how I do it. He goes into a sinner's house, the religious mutter. But you see, the glory of God walked into Zacchaeus' house. And without saying a word, in the presence of the Lord, Zacchaeus began to repent. Jesus was filled with glory, and his presence caused the situation to turn. You and I, church, if we sit with him daily in the morning, and we've taught this over and over, if we're presence people, that glory goes with us wherever we go. And the hearts of people are turned around. Even if we don't know it in the moment, we can be praying, Lord, turn their hearts. We may have an opportunity, we may not. That doesn't change the fact that Jesus just walked into their zone. And their thoughts began to go to things they haven't maybe thought about for years. Zacchaeus was a powerful man, an influential man, a wealthy man. And he had a mindset change. Don't you think that that mindset change would influence his circle? It sure would. You know, we have the miracle of Jesus sending the fishermen out again. They hadn't caught anything all night. And Peter says, well, because you say so, I'll send the boat out. I'll go out again. And the boat was overflowing with fish, so many, in fact, that they had to ask for help. And Peter gets down on his knees and he says, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Jesus hadn't said to him, Peter, you're a sinful man. In the presence of a holy God, Peter responded by recognizing who he was and needed to change that. We're called to carry his presence. I don't want to go too much longer here. Just be patient with me for a minute. In response to how God will move through us, we're going to impact regions. So in order to be stewards of the kingdom of God, he puts us sometimes, church, into situations that will develop our character. For us, the key is to be surrendered to him and let him make the changes in our lives that are needed so we become good stewards. And that's the scripture we've often studied, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Little by little, as the people of God steward the anointing they received in their last encounter with him, this is how the kingdom is taken. It doesn't get taken all at once. Step by step, as we obediently walk it out. Surrender is everything in this hour. Because the enemy wants us to step into all our own rights and do it our way. But surrender is what Jesus did. So if we're going to learn the unforced rhythms of grace, it means walking in surrender. It means changing the way we think. And then it means obedience to the last thing he asked us to do. Luke 16:16, I think I began with this. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Are we pressing into it? In the Passion, it says, And now when this wonderful news of the kingdom realm of God is preached, people's hearts burn with extreme passion to press in and receive it. Are we pressing in? We can do it by walking around our neighborhoods. We can do it by praying before we go into a store, Lord, let your glory impact people in this place. Amen? It's not difficult. It's being conscious of who's in us and releasing that wherever we go, realizing the kingdom is within us. We're not here to take up space and wait to go somewhere prematurely and leaving everybody else behind. We're here to expand his kingdom little by little. All creation is groaning for the manifestations of the Son of God, sons of God. There's a high cost when, this is a quote, it's not me. There's a high cost when God's people are not walking in the authority that has been given. Bill Johnson makes this statement in his book, When Heaven Invades Earth. Nevertheless, he says, a powerless church is far more costly in terms of human suffering and lost souls. During revival, hell is plundered and heaven is populated. Without revival, hell is populated, period. You want me to read that again? Because it hit me between the eyes when I read it. There's a high cost when God's people are not walking in the authority that they have been given. Nevertheless, a powerless church is far more costly in terms of human suffering and lost souls. During revival, hell is plundered and heaven is populated. Without revival, hell is populated, period. The primary purpose of the miracle realm is to reveal the nature of God. The lack of miracles works like a thief, stealing precious revelation that is within the grasp of every man, woman, and child. Our debt to mankind is to give them answers for the impossible and a personal encounter with God. And that encounter must include great power. So ACM, let me ask you, are you willing to expand his kingdom? I know I am. We've had seasons where the focus has been on signs and wonders and miracles, and then because we get a different teaching again, it's like we let go of it. I'm so grateful, Pastor Dorman, when you stepped in. That needs to be happening all the time. If God shows up, needs to be happening. But God's going to show up in other places, church. And are we going to be obedient to let the glory of God come so that people have an encounter with him? God wants revival in our lives all the time. We think of revival as big church meetings, but revival is personal revival, so we walk out in the world with it. We can't sit idle anymore. It's time for a pushback against what's happening. Not in rebellion, but in absolute surrender, walking with him into the world. There's a lot of you in here who carry high levels of prophetic anointing. When you are in a store, do you ever see? Does the Holy Spirit show you this one needs help? That one needs to be talked to. That's the prophetic anointing. The evangelism team uses it on the streets, and that's great, but we're called to all walk in it. We're all called to lay hands on the sick. Amen? And expect for something to happen. Right there and then, a couple of days later in their lives, maybe a week later, but expect that it's going to happen. Many of you have received prophetic words in this house that you carry a healing anointing and you feel it in your hands. Are you stewarding that? Are you stewarding it? Are you using it? God wants to give you a whole lot more, but unless we steward what we've been given and walk with it in the world, then that's all there is. We've heard something wonderful, but we're not using it. Amen? I'm asking God for opportunities more and more. So, Lord, I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. Lord, help me to speak out when it's right there in front of me. God gave me an opportunity this week. I'd already prayed once for a little Vietnamese girl that does nails, and God had already moved once. And I said, "How's your husband?" And she began to tell me what happened. Now I said, I grabbed her hand. I said, we're going to pray right now. And when we pray together, and the next time I go in, I expect to hear, "Oh, but they found this, and now this is fixed," because God's intervening. Amen? And she's supposed to be working, and we're praying. Anyway, praise God. He gave me an opportunity. You know, that's the way it is. But they're all in front of us, all around us. So let's release his kingdom, church. Amen? Father, I pray, Father, for boldness to come. Jesus, when the early church was persecuted, they just went back to the upper room and they said, "Come on, Holy Spirit, we need more. Holy Spirit, we need more. We need more boldness, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit, do it again." We began through Claude this morning with Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, you came powerfully and you just dropped again. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just empower everybody in here. I pray, Father God, that the muzzle, Father, that they felt because they've got a mask on, be broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, the mask has nothing to do with it. People can hear us. Father God, open our mouths to speak the truth of life, resurrection, life, hope. Father, causes to give people an encounter with you. Father, the fields are wide unto harvest. People are desperate in this hour. So, Father, I thank you now for boldness on this congregation to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom and to release, Lord, what you have placed in their lives. And that's you, Jesus. And, Father, for this, we can only say thank you. Have your precious way in all of us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.